Hi, and thank you for tuning in to McDowell Mountain Community Church's podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you can be notified when we upload our latest message. We hope the message you hear today is encouraging to you as you navigate your week. Be blessed.
Generosity, a lot of times, is coming to a dinner party with a tray of food, right? It's symbolic of I am entering into your space and I'm bringing with me something for all of us to feast on. And is anybody like a good dinner party? Only a couple of you? Right? Like, seriously, I think, like, when you think about going to a party, the best party is where you don't ever have to worry about, is there enough food? Right? Am I welcome here? Like, you have friends there. You feel like you're part of the crowd. You feel like you're part of the family. And you, like, you can wear whatever you want to. And it's always a good time. But, you know, we've been talking through this series on the kingdom, which is called Majnik. Or however you pronounce it. Majnik. I don't know. Majnik. And it's the upside down kingdom. And last week, Matt was talking about we're kind of going, you know, through the Majnik alphabet. So M-O-D, and last week was descending into greatness. And that sounds good, but today we're going to talk about, like, what does that look like? How do we do that? Because when we descend into greatness, one of the things we're asking a lot is, am I enough? Am I worthy? Well, like, we know God's worthy of that, like we just sang about, but am I worthy of that? And what if there's not enough to go around? Like, what if I descend into greatness and then I just stay there? And it's not descending into greatness, it's descending into nothingness, you know? Like, I'm serving, I'm giving, I'm sacrificing, and so, like, am I good enough? Is there going to be enough? And it creates all of this fear for us. We live in a world, I don't know if you know about this, but there's a lot of people that are afraid of things out there. Quicksand, bears, all sorts of things. Like, we live in a world where there's a lot of anxiety and discontentment, which leads to consumerism. And you know what? I'm going to hoard and keep everything that I can. I'm going to possess it and I'm going to control it. And you know what that leads to? More fear. Because somebody might come and take it from me, or I might lose it, or somehow there's going to be worries about, am I going to have enough? Am I going to be enough? Am I going to create in this world enough? And then Jesus says things like this in Luke 12. Do not be afraid, little flock. At first I was like a flock of birds, you know, but he's actually talking about a flock of sheep. Did you know that? It's not a herd of sheep, it's a flock of sheep. Like sheep without a shepherd, Jesus says, is this generation. They're wandering around and they have no shepherd, nobody leading them. He said, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. He has been pleased to give you bacon-wrapped jalapeno poppers and all of the goods of the party. He's like, there's no entry fee. You just get to come and you get to partake in the goodness of the kingdom. Do not be afraid. Your Father has been pleased, delighted, happy. Your Father is happy to give you the kingdom. And that is a beautiful statement. But like, really? Us? You're like, you're just going to give us this kingdom? Like, you're not just going to protect it and organize all of it. You're going to share it. You want us to participate in this kingdom? And really, he's like, yes. So don't stop the flow of the kingdom. Don't stop the flow of the goodness that God is giving to you. And that's what we've been exploring, this word kingdom. And so kingdom can be defined a couple of different ways. I've defined it like this. A kingdom is God's rule and reign. It's the range of God's effective will, where what he wants done is done, versus kingdom of Cam. And that's my rule and reign, where what I want done is done. It's the range of my effective will. Guess what? You have a kingdom too. You have a kingdom too. And so kingdom of fill in the blank, you. So God's kingdom is where what he wants done gets done. And he's pleased to give this to us. He's like, you're invited. The invitation is there. Just take it up. But my kingdom is often, not always, but often in competition with God's kingdom. And that's where Jesus says, pray this. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done. He's like, in my life, to the range of my effective will, may I partner in what God's doing in the world right now. And the more we can do that, the more the kingdom has life and substance and movement. The kingdom is going somewhere. Why? Because we're participating. We are putting our kingdom subservient or under the leadership of God's kingdom. So the kingdom of the enemy or the kingdom of the darkness is where the darkness is winning. The enemy is winning. And God's like, no, no, no. I've come to be light in the midst of darkness. It's where what I want done is done. And so what this movement is for us, putting our kingdom under God's kingdom, it's a movement of trust. That don't be afraid. I trust God. I trust that when you say, descend into greatness, serve, give, love, that really is the best way to live. Like if you don't get anything out, like if I could increasingly just read the stories of Jesus and align my heart and my mind and my activity, my doing, with God's activity in his heart, in his mind, in his will, that's heaven. That's why he's like, heaven is not somewhere out there. Heaven is among you right now. To the extent that the kingdom of God, it's breaking through, and guess what? You can either participate or not. You have a choice today to participate in the kingdom come and God's will being done. So Jesus says this, you know, don't be afraid, little flock. Trying not to be insulted by that. Like you're just a sheep without a shepherd. Your father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Then he goes on and says this. So he says, so sell your possessions. Whoa, 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 whoa. Serious? Like sell my possessions? And give to the poor? This is what he says right after that. I'm pleased to give you the kingdom. The kingdom's coming. Kingdom's here. So sell your possessions, give to the poor, provide purses, we might say wallets or pockets or iPhones or Apple Pay, for yourselves that does not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near, no moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there's the big statement, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, we are supposed to, in God's kingdom rule, have money and possessions without treasuring them. We are supposed to navigate this world in a way that our possessions don't rule over us. Our treasures don't dictate our heart and our mind and how we live in the kingdom. We are supposed to rule over our possessions. Now, this statement is not saying sell all of your possessions. That's not what Jesus says. And Jesus, actually, the greatest metaphor for the kingdom, here it is. So Jesus talks about the kingdom more than anything else in Scripture. Did you know that? What's number two? Money. The greatest metaphor for the kingdom for Jesus is in your pocket right now. Why? Why does he give us this metaphor of money? Well, because your money tells you where your priority is. And he said, every single day, when you interact with money and coins, we should be thinking, this is an opportunity for the kingdom. Am I living into God's rule and reign. He's like, I'm going to give you something. He gave us a meal to celebrate every single week as we come together as a church, which is communion, right? He gives us all of these reminders, but he talks about money. Jesus is, he's the greatest author about money that has ever existed. And he talks about money more than faith, more than prayer combined. He talks about money all the time because he understands that the metaphor, the reality is that we're exchanging money in this economy of the world. He says that money in the economy of the world should be a metaphor for you, the economy of the kingdom. Do you see what he's doing? He's like, I'm going to give you something. So every single day, every single time you think about it, every single time you touch your wallet or your iPhone, you should be thinking about the kingdom. It's about our daily priorities. You give $5 to a kid, watch what they spend it on. You will know instantly what their priorities are. Candy, toys, more candy and more toys. Watch them spend, watch a five-year-old spend your cash, right? It goes very quick. Watch a college kid spend your cash too. But money is interesting. And we have this relationship with money. And I know like we're talking about money in the church, but like don't be like, I think what Jesus is saying is sell your possessions because you got to build up treasures in heaven. And so if you're allowing your possessions to control you and you're allowing your possessions to become captive in your heart, then you're misplacing God. You know, in another place, Jesus says, you can't have two gods. You can't have two masters, God or mammon. You can't have both. And mammon is the god of greed. The god of greed or the god who is pleased to give you generously out of his overflowing love and capacity. You can't have both. And actually, well, I was thinking about this. Will Smith, I was thinking about the Oscars tonight, and he captured this reality in our culture. I heard some murmur with that. He said, too many people spend money they haven't earned to buy things they don't want to impress people they don't even like. And how true that is. He's a prophet of our modern day culture. But if we go back to Genesis 1, this is what Genesis 1, the very beginning of the Bible says. It says, in the beginning, God created. God was generous. God made. God supplied. God gave. In the beginning, God gave. He was pleased to give us the kingdom. Why? So that we could continue his project of blessing the world. So that's actually how I define kingdom generosity. Here's our definition. It's a working definition. It's not foolproof, but I've been working on this. It's the ongoing opportunity. It's a daily opportunity, right? The metaphor of every single time, every time I exchange money or finances, if you breathe, right? It's an ongoing opportunity to trust God. To steward his resources, because where did they come from? In the beginning, God. Yeah, you caught on. So in the beginning, God gave and created this world for us to live in. And he's calling us, and Jesus, he's like, whoa, what did you do with this great world that God created for us? He says, like, living in the kingdom of God is bringing all of us under, subservient to the kingdom of God. So it's to opportunity to participate in his vision to bless the world. God does not want to condemn the world. He did not come to condemn. He came to bless and to provide. And wouldn't it be awesome if we all can go to this awesome dinner party feast and you don't have to worry about how many jalapeno poppers there are. You don't have to worry about the food. It's not going to run out. That's a picture of the kingdom. And this generosity is an ongoing opportunity to participate with God and to steward his resources. Full stop. That's what we're talking about. You know, I could dismiss right now, and many of you would like that, but But, like, we need to get this into our minds. Like, every single day when you wake up is an opportunity. Is an opportunity to join in what God is doing in the world. Peter said, you're priests. You have this ability to walk into the world and bring God's generous love and to steward his resources. So how do we do this? We're gonna look at these five elements of Majnik generosity, right? Upside down kingdom generosity. Because Jesus says a lot about money. We can't cover all of it. We can't cover everything on generosity. But this is what I have found. It's kind of like a diamond, turning the diamond and looking at different ways. These are different elements or building blocks of generosity. And I'll say this, like, I am learning this real time. I'm not an expert on generosity. Actually, I'm more inspired by many of you in this room and how you have been generous. I mean, I was just in the hospital a couple weeks, and the outpouring of love and support and prayers and meals and cards, and I can't thank you enough. Like, this, that's the kingdom. And I am inspired by you. So, like, if you have been practicing generosity in any way, like, just my encouragement is keep going. Keep doing it. That's what I want you to hear today. Like, keep being generous. Keep finding ways to bless people in this world, because we can continue. Can you out-give God? If there's still room between your kingdom and God's kingdom, then we still have not yet been totally formed in the image of Jesus. So keep going. If you haven't yet been generous, my hope is that you would, in some way, over the next few minutes, be inspired to give and join what God's doing. So let's take these different elements and aspects. The first one is creatively. Now, in our hyper-private culture, where you drive in and shut the garage door and you don't know any of your neighbors around the street, it's a little bit harder to perceive and see the needs around us. Like, we can be somewhat insulated in this time and age about what the needs are and where they exist. So creativity is required, because you have to have eyes to see where the needs are. You have to have ears to hear and to listen. Where are the needs that exist in our world, and how can I partner in what God is wanting to do? You might say generosity is simply the creative management of God's resources. He has blessed you. He's blessed you. Every single person in this room is blessed. Now, I love this story. I was going to try to just, you know, read from memory or quote the story from memory, but I'm going to read it, okay? So in Luke 12, just prior to the verse that we were looking at, someone says, Jesus is teaching, and someone interrupts him. I love it. He interrupts him. And he says, teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me. Now, this isn't going to be on the screen, but you can go back and read. Luke 12 is so rich on this topic of generosity. And Jesus replied, friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that? He's like, be creative, right? I'm not going to tell you exactly how to steward your resources. That would take forever to go through the room and, like, well, okay, every single one of you, we're not going to do that. But he said this, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Again, mammon is the god of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. Then verse 16, he tells them a story like Jesus does. It's such a good story. He says, a rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. I just want you to put your mind for a second. You are a farmer. Fertile farm means you've been blessed with good soil, good rain, good weather. Did you create those things? Where'd those things come from? You can say it. God. You've been blessed with fine crops. And he said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. What a problem. Man, I've been so blessed, I don't have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know, I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. Really? That's the first thing that comes to your mind? You know what? I'm just going to tear down my barns, these measly barns. Look how much God's blessed me with. Like, how long do crops even last? I think we're supposed to see the silliness of this. Like, but a lot of times in our culture, this is what we observe. I'm just going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build bigger ones. It's like, really? Is that as creative as you can get? I'm just going to build bigger barns to hold more of my crops that I'm not even responsible for. The weather provided for me, God provided for me. Then I'll have room enough to store all of my wheat and all my other goods. Verse 19, and I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, it's like patting yourself on the back, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Eat, drink, and be merry. That could be the slogan of our current cultural moment, right? But God said to him, you fool. You'll die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? In Ecclesiastes, they talk about this vapor. Like you keep trying to reach for wealth, and every time you reach for it, it just outside of your grasp. Whew. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. See, the key is the treasure is God. The treasure is a rich relationship with God. And if you have a rich relationship with God and you're pursuing kingdom generosity, I'm living into his kingdom reality in my life, then I'm going to think more creatively than just bigger barns. I'm going to say, man, look at how much God's blessed me with. I wonder if there's enough left over that I can bless my neighbor and these other people over here. Instead of spending money on bigger barns, could I spend my money creatively in different ways? Which is why, you know, we're doing this event in a couple of weeks to help us, those of you who've got to this point, like, listen, you've built bigger barns. You've got this incredible inheritance in retirement. So how do you creatively steward those resources? This is not just to say, hey, point this back into the church. This is like, hey, how can you leverage these resources in a tax-helpful way to give to some of the things that can bless others? And you can see the kingdom of God advancing in different ways. And so you can ask, bring your questions about what this looks like on March 24th and sign up for this lunch. It's free. It's a dinner party, and you don't even have to bring anything. You just have to sign up, and you can have lunch provided for you. But the whole idea is that this, it says this in Psalm 49. It says, do not be overawed when others grow rich, when the splendor of their houses increases. I imagine Jesus was playing off of this a little bit. He's telling that story. For they will take nothing with them when they die. Their splendor will not descend with them. You ever seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul? No matter how much you hug your money, it will not hug you back. Which led Randy Alcorn in a great book on the treasure principle. He says, when Jesus warns us not to store up treasures on earth, it's not because wealth might be lost, it's because wealth will always be lost. It will always be lost. It's like vapor. You keep trying to pursue it and it just goes outside of your hands. It's because wealth will always be lost. Either it leaves us while we're alive, where it leaves us when we die, no exceptions. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. In one spot, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God. He said it's like the smallest of seeds, like this mustard seed that you plant. And it doesn't have to be a lot. So don't think that we're saying, like, I mean, the guys, he already filled up his barns. How much bigger can you make barns in the first century? Right? It's probably not that much bigger. Probably his original barn is what, like 10 foot by 10 foot? Like, let's make a 12 foot by 12 foot barn. Like, it's kind of ludicrous, right? Like, how much extra are you going to be able to? It's not like the barns that we think about, like the big red barns, you know, that you see in Kansas. At least I've seen in Kansas. Don't fall asleep when you're driving through Kansas. There's big barns. And he's like, no, like, It's just a little bit more. It doesn't have to be extravagant. That's why God commanded in the Old Testament a tithe, one-tenth. He's like, just keep the outside of your field for people who are passing through. It's just a little bit more. It doesn't have to be extravagant. It doesn't have to be huge, but it can be. If God has really blessed you, then man, think about how the creative opportunity of managing what God has blessed you with. Like that is an awesome opportunity. But Jesus says this small little seed grows and becomes a tree and the birds come. See, the beauty is not in the seed. Sometimes we think that we have to provide the tree. If you keep waiting for the tree of generosity in that moment to strike, right? Like I've never been just in a moment creatively like I'm just gonna give a huge amount of money. No, it starts with the seed. It starts with small amounts of being creative every single day. And it doesn't have to be money. It can be a text. It can be a conversation. It can be an attention. It could be a meal. It could be a candy bar. I was I was in line at the grocery store, and the checkout lady, you could tell, it was like Thanksgiving time, and she was stressed. She's like, can't keep up, and the line is like 20 deep. And because John Mark Comer's like, choose the longest line, I chose that one. So I like get to the front and I'm like, oh man, I'm on the edge, she's on the edge, everybody's on the edge. And I said, can I get you a candy bar? What do you like? She's like, what? And I grabbed two, I said, which one would you like? She's like, oh my gosh, Reese's are my favorite. Everybody loves Reese's, like if in doubt, right? Peanut butter, it's next to bacon in terms of godliness. But I gave her the candy bar and her whole demeanor, everything changed. She's like, nobody has ever done that for me, ever. I was like, it's just a small candy bar. It was like, it's on sale, you know? If I buy 10, I can save 10 cents per candy bar. But I just gave her a candy bar and her whole expression and demeanor changed in an instant. And that's where I'm like, man, just a small amount creatively used in a moment can bring the kingdom of God. It's like it was there. Everybody felt it, everybody in that line. Now, I haven't done that since, but I'm just like, I'm so inspired by so many of you, but we have these opportunities, these small opportunities, this is a small seed to say, man, I have just a little bit, I'm just gonna pass it on because it's not mine anyway. Like, I'm just gonna pass it forward. And it takes creativity to be generous. Something else that's small, Eugene Peterson said, greed is like a parasite. So your money, what you have, it can either be a small seed or it can be a parasite that grows in your heart. And sometimes you don't even realize it's there until it starts taking over. And so to loosen our grip. Secondly, secrecy. And another passage, Jesus says this in Matthew 6, the Sermon on the Mount. He says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets like I just did in the Snicker bar, Reese's bar. You've received your reward in full. It's like an actor. Okay, so the idea is not, so this is what we have to say. You don't have to be super secretive that like nobody, because Jesus says, go, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So it's okay to like be visible in the world, but are you doing it to be seen? That's the difference. Is your motivation a good sermon illustration? Is your motivation to like let your friends see you or your family see you and like, man, they were so generous and man, you know, I'm gonna tell everybody about it? Or is your motivation authentically in your heart, the inner life? It's not the outer fruit, it's the inner life, okay? What's your motivation for giving and for generosity? And Jesus says it should be a secret. life with God, an authentic life with God. Don't let the showmanship of your giving stop the flow of the kingdom. It's like the kingdom of God is like a river. It's rushing through. It's like, don't stop it. Or it's like a drain. Don't be a hair in the drain that's clogging up God's generosity. Isn't that an awful image? Like, you either can be a seed or you can be a hair in the drain. Like, you know? Don't be a hair in the drain. Be generous. Don't stop the flow of God's generosity in our world, but let your motivation drive it. Let your love for God and his kingdom and his goodness and his love. Our motivation should be love. This is what it says. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:3, if I give all of my possessions, if I gave everything to the poor, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. And Paul is saying, like, listen, it's not about a number. It's not about how much you gave. It's about, did you do it in love? A small seed. And, you know, when Jesus is talking about, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, and some of us have heard that. It's not about, like, yeah, I didn't even see that candy bar. How'd that get there? You know, how'd that get on that table there? You know, he's like, no. He said, John Ortberg is a pastor and a writer, and he said, it's kind of like learning the piano, and at first you really have to pay attention to the left hand and the right hand, the melody and the bass notes, you know, and you're like, boom, boom, okay. But over time, you learn to play the left hand almost effortlessly. Like, I don't even recognize this, and I'm playing the melody. He's like, that's kind of what it's like. Over time, with practice, you learn not to be motivated by the giving itself, but to be learn to practice generosity in such a way that becomes like second nature. I have a friend that it's like second nature. It's like every time I'm like, dude, I like your hat. He's like, here's my hat. Like, I don't want your hat. I'm just complimenting your hat. I don't need it. You know, it's like, it's that bass note. He's like, just every single thing that he does, he's playing those notes, and the melody of God's kingdom can come along and just breed a beautiful life of generosity. That's what Jesus is talking about there. And next, we have sacrificially. Sacrificially, because the real net worth of the kingdom is not what you do, it's who you become. It's becoming, in the image of Jesus, this person of sacrifice, of giving, of knowing. It's not about hoarding, controlling. He's like, no, it's about generosity. I love this. C.S. Lewis says, I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. It's not about a number. I'm afraid the only safe rule is that we have to give more than we can spare. If we're comfortable, constantly comfortable, I don't think that's what Jesus has in mind either. He asks us to give, sell your possessions, give to those in need. And it should make us uncomfortable because that's sacrifice. But like, yeah, but I worked really hard for those barns. Like, I get it, you know? Like, that's important to an extent, but you've let those barns control you and your heart. And until you learn to give a little bit, it's gonna be really hard to give a lot. If God wants to bless you with your life, you can't hoard it, you can't take it, you know, the U-Haul in the back, like, no, just start with a small amount and learn to be sacrificial, to be pushing that. With your time, your talents, your treasure, those are the three categories. So it may not be your treasure, it may be your time. I'm really stingy with my time. I don't know if I can do coffee with you this week. I don't know if I have 30 minutes to spare. Like, really, like, give your time, give your talents. We need the talents. That's the kingdom of God. That's where the kingdom of God is not an individual sport. It's the church. It's this. Look around you. This is the kingdom of God. All of us giving together our time, our talents, our treasure with one another. But it takes sacrifice. Don't let this person over here do all the heavy lifting while I'm doing nothing. No, all of us. It takes all of us together. It takes all of us together. There's this story, Hattie Mae Wyatt. She was a six-year-old girl. And she was trying to get into church one day. Some of you may know this story. She was trying to get into church, and she couldn't. And so the pastor came, and he picked her up, and he's like, here, come with me. I'll help you get in. So he brought little Hattie Mae, the six-year-old, into the church, and it was packed day. It was awesome. And she said, "There's a problem, Pastor." He's like, "There's a problem? But it looks good, right? There's all these people here." She's like, "We don't have enough room in the temple for all God's children. We don't have enough room." Well, tragedy struck. 2 years later, Hattie Mae died at the age of 8. And at the funeral, the pastor came and did the funeral. The parents came up after the funeral, and they gave the pastor, "Hattie Mae's been saving this. She wanted you to have these 57 cents that she was saving so that you could build a bigger temple so nobody will have to wait in line for Sunday school." So that pastor, so inspired and touched by Hattie Mae, he sold 57 pennies, he auctioned them off and made over $200, like $250 on one penny, and somebody was generous and took that one penny. And that inspired more generosity and more generosity. Like Hattie Mae gave all she had. Like in terms of the Old Testament, I've heard it said that, I gotta look at my notes here. Jacob the swindler gave a tenth. Okay. Zacchaeus, the despised tax collector, he gave half, but the poor unnamed widow gave all she had. So if you're looking at the trajectory of Scripture, what does that mean for you? To be sacrificial. Hattie Mae gave 57 cents because that's all she had. And the pastor turned it into $250. And that became, I got some pictures here. Temple University was based on that. There's the church that was built inspired by Hattie Mae's generosity. The campus, the temple campus, and symbolically, if you've been in, is it Pittsburgh? Philadelphia. Yeah, Philadelphia, the Temple University. They don't even know how many hundreds of thousands of people have been helped at Temple Medical Center because of Hattie Mae's 57 cents of generosity. You don't know what God wants to do in your life, and he's not asking you to know all the details. That's the sacrifice. I may not see the benefit of my giving and my generosity. I may not see it, but I just have to trust that God knows what he's doing. And we follow in the footsteps of God. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life," life here and now. And I want to just wrap up with these two last points, consistently and joyfully. And I think these are both important elements for us in generosity. Consistently, because we have to create a practice and a rhythm of generosity. We can't expect everything to just come naturally. And Paul says this to 1 Corinthians 16, to that same church. He says, "On the first day of each week, you should set aside a portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once." Paul, practical wisdom, like set it aside. Create a consistent rhythm of generosity. Don't wait until the moment strikes you and you say, "Man, I'm just so motivated in this moment to give generously." So here's some ways. And Jesus says, when you give to the needy, he's not talking about if, he's like, when you give. So daily, actively look for a creative opportunity to bless somebody. Maybe you need to keep a gratitude journal just to remind yourself, like, I am blessed. No matter what I'm walking through, I am blessed today. Wait 24 hours. Can you wait 24 hours before big purchases? Or maybe even consult with somebody. Should I or should I not spend this money? Like, whoa. Yeah, I think that's Jesus's vision of us working together to bring his kingdom and his rule. And there's some suggestions for weekly, monthly. So this isn't, you should do all of this. Like, just pick one to stretch you. Give to and or serve a ministry with your time or your money or your resources. Simplify your possessions. Man, I, you know, like, do I really need that extra shirt? You know, it's the same one as that one, but what if that one's dirty? Do I need the extra one? You know, maybe I can get rid of it, give it to somebody else, donate it to Harvest Compassion Center. We have a box that's in that central classroom. You can drop off your possessions here. You can tithe, give a tenth, but don't just give a tenth because it's like that's what's recommended in the Old Testament. Jesus is like, no, it's gonna require all of you to say, what has God blessed me with? And what is God asking me to pass on in this season of my life? So just some, and maybe, you know, you start with one and you jump to another one and continue to stretch. And then we'll end with this, joyfully. Because it says God loves a cheerful giver. He's pleased, he's happy to give us the kingdom. And it reminds me of the story. He said, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like a man who found treasure in a field. So he buried the treasure back up, and in his joy, he went and sold everything he had and went and bought that field. In his joy, the kingdom of God is a joyful, upside-down kingdom in which God wants to use you creatively, authentically, from the heart, consistently to bless the world around us. He's asking us, trust me. Trust me. Sell all of your possessions and buy that field. Go all in. I'm betting the house and the farm on the kingdom of God. Jesus says, that's what it's like. The kingdom of God. And guess what? It's come near. It's available for you right now, today. The kingdom of God is in your midst, and that kingdom of God is Jesus. And guess what? I gave my life up so that you could have life. I've led the way. I've done it. Jesus said, you know, like, you don't have to be worried or afraid anymore. Little flock, you sheep, don't stop the flow of God's kingdom. It is coming. It is rushing in. There's a wave of generosity that's coming from the Father. God created in the beginning and is creating now. And he's not saying it's scarcity. He's saying it's abundant. Here I am. I love you, and I want to do something rich in your life today, in the interior of your heart, so that you can go and bless the world. That's the kingdom of the heavens. God's divine party is in session. Are you showing up? Have you brought food to contribute to the party? Because it's going to be awesome. So we're going to end with these three questions today, like Matt does every week. How has God been generous to me? If you want to continue to reflect on this, what can I do for another person today? And how can I keep it a secret, free from the approval of others? And what is God wanting me to give more of at this stage or season of my life than I've given in the past? And again, maybe it's serving. Maybe you've been giving generously and it's like time to get in the game, time to serve. Maybe you've been serving as time to jump into relationships, rich relationships in a Bible study or a group with other people. Maybe you haven't been giving generously and it's like it's time to jump in and contribute to what God wants to do. Don't stop the flow of God's kingdom. The party is in session. How can we participate and jump in? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much. May we all today go with joy and love and peace, knowing that you have richly provided all of our needs according to your riches. And we thank you for that. May we become people who are creatively pursuing your goodness by giving out of the overflow of what you've provided for us. May we find small ways to do that this day and this week, and as we continue to align ourselves with your kingdom come and your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.